Chapter 2. Your Loyalty, a Sacred Trust. Where does your loyalty lie? If you belong to one of the Koch conservative groups, they will have pounded into you over and over again that you must be loyal to your country, loyal to your flag, and above all, loyal to that great, great American Constitution. Patriotism is the great virtue, they say. Even the Jewish-controlled newspapers will tell you the same thing, although they then will immediately proceed to desecrate and befoul all of these with the most scurrilous trash and garbage that they generally heap upon all of the white man's institutions and emblems. The fact is that a man's loyalty belongs to none of these. A man's loyalty is first and foremost to his racial family, which is an immediate extension of his own family. In other words, a white man's first and foremost loyalty belongs to the white race. Every other race knows instinctively that their loyalty lies with their own race. The Jews know it, the niggers know it, and every other race knows it, except the average white American, who it so happens is the basic target for destruction in this treacherous and tricky war we are now enmeshed, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not. The Jew may be a citizen of France or England or Germany, or the United States. He is completely unconcerned about the welfare of his host country. He acknowledges no loyalty to any such country. On the contrary, he usually is actively engaged in pulling down the framework of the country in which he lives, plundering and ransacking the remains in the process. He has only one loyalty: the Jewish race. Let some country threaten to harm a Jew anywhere in the world, such as the recent Russian hijackers or the Rosenberg atomic spies of a few decades ago, and all the Jews of the world rise to a man and scream to high heaven, "Save the Rosenbergs! Let our people go!" The fact that the condemned Jews are guilty criminals is irrelevant as far as they are concerned. Save them at any cost. Scream persecution. Scream loud and long. Anything to save any Jew, no matter how guilty, no matter how criminal. Let us never forget that it is this racial loyalty and solidarity that has made the Jews the world power they are today. Racial loyalty is a fundamental instinct given us by nature for the preservation of each race. The healthier this instinct is, and the more a race exercises this healthy instinct, the more likely it is to survive. The more it is smothered by deception or brain pollution, the more vulnerable such a race is to destruction from those who utilize their native instincts of racial loyalty. The black man has it, and the Jew finds it easy to promote racial loyalty among the niggers, to organize it and utilize it for the destruction of the white race. He has the niggers talking about black culture where none exists. He has them talking about black pride, where there is very little to be proud of. The Jew, through his skillful manipulation of propaganda, has the black man screaming, "Kill Whitey." He fans an emotional hatred for the white race, not only among the blacks and the mulattoes of America, but among all the colored peoples of the world. His plans call for the deployment of the inferior colored races of the world as shock troops to mongrelize the superior white race and kill and exterminate those that will not mongrelize. This program of mongrelization or extermination is taking place before our eyes in America today. Forced school busing, a dastardly outrage, and a shameful insult to the white race is a major part of the program to mongrelize the next generation. It is their objective to pump the black blood of Africa into the veins of white Americans. Nobody need deceive themselves that the Jewish program of togetherness and intermingling during the school years, fortified with a massive brain pollution program in the schools, on television, and the news media, that this is not going to end up in mixed marriages and race mixing. In fact, mongrelization is the overwhelming massive drive that the Jews have in store for us today. They are going to use every power play, every trick of propaganda, and every unconstitutional law that they can force upon us to achieve this their goal, the mongrelization of the white race. Just today, I read about a Jewess by the name of Cohen lecturing a group of Christian white women about where their Christian duty lay. According to this Mrs. Cohen, the white families were living in an artificial world, and they better get with it and start adopting black babies, because there was a surplus of black babies for adoption, and it was their Christian duty to give them a home. She added ominously that if this wasn't pursued with vigor and enthusiasm, there were already laws in the making that would force them to adopt these little black jungle bunnies. And again, let us not deceive ourselves. Unless we put a stop to this outrage, the Jews will successfully perpetrate this and other hideous programs upon us to obliterate and mongrelize us. Another part of the program to reduce and cut down the cream of America's white youth is the present senseless war in Vietnam, where every week something like 50 or more young white Americans in the prime of their manhood are killed in the jungles of Vietnam, Cambodia, Korea, and elsewhere. Several hundred more are maimed and crippled for life. Thousands return from these jungle wars addicted to dope, their lives tragically ruined, and not only useless, but many have been turned into dangerous criminals when they return to American soil. Let us repeat, the Jew knows where his loyalty lies, and every other colored race knows where their loyalty lies, namely with their own race. It is only the white race that is confused, strange to say, that very race that nature has crowned as the pinnacle of her creation and destined to rule the world. Thanks to the Jews' overwhelming control of the instruments of propaganda, the white man is now so filled with a zeal to be a do-gooder and to save every worthless scum and parasite on the face of the earth that he doesn't even realize that the parasites are multiplying rapidly, how the white race is declining, and that the parasites intend to destroy him as soon as they have the power. This is racial suicide. So we, members of the great white race, must come to our senses and discard such an idiotic, self-destructive philosophy. It is contrary to all reason. It is contrary to all the good, healthy instincts given to us by nature for our own self-preservation. It is contrary to all common sense. We must believe first and foremost in practicing racial loyalty. Loyalty to the white race, and the white race alone. We must abandon the idiotic, suicidal attitude we have pursued in the past, and turn to a sane, realistic course, as prescribed by nature herself. Of all the millions of species in nature, I know of none that says, in deference to the weaker and inferior species, we will hold back in the expansion of our own. In fairness to the underprivileged, we will render aid to the scum so that they can multiply, outbreed us, and push us off the face of the earth. No, none of them practice this idiotic program of compassion for the scum, the weaker, and the inferior. None, that is, except the white race. We of the Church of the Creator therefore completely reject the kosher conservatives' idea that loyalty to country, to the flag, and the Constitution comes first. Who could be loyal to an America when it has become completely niggerized and Judaized, and whose prime national objective is the mongrelization and extermination of the white race? Certainly any good, intelligent member of the white race is bound to realize that such a country is his enemy, whether he likes it or not, and he owes it no loyalty whatsoever. In this respect, too, we must realize that it is not the country itself that is the culprit, but the traitorous structure that has usurped power over the country, led by the Jew. If I saw an American nigger beating up a white Canadian, I would not be on the side of the nigger because he was an American, but I would rush to the aid of the Canadian because he was white. I find it impossible to owe any loyalty whatsoever to a government when such government is continually proving by its deeds that it is promoting the welfare and multiplication of the blacks and promoting the destruction of the white population. No thoughtful white parents would care to stay and bring up their family in a country that had become niggerized, as Haiti, for instance. Since many parents see this happening in the big city jungles of the United States, a number of them are planning to leave this country and move to Australia or elsewhere where there are no niggers. Many have already done so. This shows that when the chips are down, a responsible parent will think first of his family and its racial future, not the real estate upon which he resides. While I commend such parents for their loyalty to their race, I cannot approve of running. I believe white Americans must stay in America and fight to regain control of our destiny. This land is ours. We must be determined to stay here and fight for what is ours. We should be pursuing, not fleeing. The United States of America now is the only reservoir of white power left in the world, strong enough to overcome the treacherous Jew. The white people of America must rise up to a man, as did the white people in Germany a generation ago. When this happens in America, fortunately, then the massive productive power of this great country will be aligned on the side of the interests of the white race, and not against it, as in World War II. I repeat, the solution is not for the white man to run to Australia or any place else. The solution is to move the niggers out, back to Africa where they belong, before they drag this great land of ours into the sump hole of history. We must change our stance. We should be pursuing, not fleeing. Let us now consider loyalty to the flag as a paramount virtue. The fact is, the flag is only a symbol, one that has been changed many times in our past history. In fact, it changes every time we take in a new state, such as Hawaii or Alaska. But more important, the flag is a symbol only as honorable as the country that flies it. It flew with the Union Army when the Jews had white Americans organized to kill another group of white Americans. They called one group of whites the North, and the other group of whites the South. This dastardly, fratricidal war was a Jewish harvest in which the Jews got rich and fat, but was a most shameful and destructive episode in the history of the white race. World Wars I and II again had white brothers killing white brothers, and again the Jews reaped a rich harvest in spoils and white blood spilled. White Americans marched into these Jewish arranged slaughters under the banner of the Stars and Stripes. But it is not something we can be proud of. Until we cleanse our country and our history and the flag that flies over it of Jews and niggers, we do not have a flag of which we can be particularly proud. When we, the white race, again have control of our own destiny, we will undoubtedly want to mark this event with a new flag, an unsullied flag that is truly a symbol of the white race. It will be one which we can be proud of indeed. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, recently discarded their 100-year-old flag and designed a new one, predominantly red, a fitting color considering the direction that country has taken. In any case, we can always design a flag without any great pain. But once the white race is destroyed, it is gone forever, and nothing can bring it back. No. Our loyalty is not with our country, nor our flag, but our people, our own race. Then we have the constitutionalists who remind us of our great constitution, the Bill of Rights, and proclaim that it alone is responsible for the greatness America has achieved. They tell us that it is because of our unique and wonderful Constitution that we in America have a standard of living higher than that of any other country in the world. It is because of our Constitution, the greatest freedom document conceived by the mind of man. They tell us that we enjoy our many freedoms. That is a lot of bosh. There are several serious flaws in the reasoning that we owe it all to our wonderful Constitution. The Constitution has inherent in it many serious defects, some of which indeed are fatal. In any case, we now know that it has not, and will not, save us from a Bolshevized Jewish takeover. Some of the serious defects that it has are: A. It did not base the formation of this great country on the issue of race. It failed to do this at a time when the white man was building America and was unusually race conscious and united in fighting the red man. Furthermore, the opportunity at this time was great, since the Jewish infestation was relatively small, although growing. B. Instead of incorporating the leadership principle, the only real basis for building a permanent and lasting society, it chose instead to base it on the fragmentation of authority, which is the so-called principle of democracy. It then eulogized their wonderful principle of divided powers, check and balance system, and called it a republican form of government, as if they had created something new. Actually, this was nothing new. The Romans had a republican form of government more than 2,000 years earlier, and finally discarded it for a better form when they changed to the empire form, with an emperor at the head, commanding absolute authority, and incorporating the leadership principle. C. Foolishly, and contrary to all common sense, they incorporated in the Declaration of Independence the heroic proclamation that all men are created equal. This is a fraudulent lie in the face of history, nature, and experience. Although the Declaration of Independence is not part of our Constitution, the importance of that proclamation has really given the liberals, the Jews, and the bleeding hearts a field day in perverting our sense of reality, in promoting the inferior races, and in thwarting and punishing the better elements of the white race. A whole network of harmful lies has been spawned from this unfortunate and most deceitful statement. D. It has the further inherent weakness of dividing church and state. Whereas the ideology of the church promotes the ideas of resist not evil, love your enemy, turn the other cheek, etc., the fundamental basis of any state is authority, law, and order. A much more harmonious relationship is achieved when the government, church, and religion are ideally harmonized on the same principles. Of course, we cannot blame the founding fathers for not being able to achieve this at that time, since they had no good racial religion to work with, but unfortunately were stuck with the suicidal ideology of Christianity. Unfortunately, too many of them were themselves over-imbued with this Jewish hoax. E. Lastly, and most important of all, the Constitution did not keep out the Jews and keep this parasitic race from contaminating this new land of promise. Had the founding fathers heeded Benjamin Franklin's advice and just put in that one stipulation to exclude the Jews, it would have done more good than all the rest of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights put together. Here is what Benjamin Franklin said at the first Constitutional Convention of the United States in 1778, almost 200 years ago. In whatever country Jews have settled in any great numbers, they have lowered its moral tone, depreciated its commercial integrity, have segregated themselves, and have not been assimilated, have sneered at and try to undermine the Christian religion upon which that nation is founded by objecting to its restrictions. have built up a state within a state, and when opposed, have tried to strangle that country to death financially, as in the case of Spain and Portugal. For over 1700 years, the Jews have been bewailing their sad fate in that they have been exiled from their homeland, as they call Palestine. But, gentlemen, did the world today give it to them in fee simple, they would at once find some cogent reason for not returning. Why? Because they are vampires, and vampires do not live on vampires. They cannot live only among themselves. They must subsist on Christians and other peoples, and not of their race. If you do not exclude them from these United States, in this Constitution, in less than 200 years, they will have swarmed in such great numbers that they will dominate and devour the land and change our form of government, for which we Americans have shed our blood, given our lives, our substance, and jeopardized our liberty. If you do not exclude them, in less than 200 years, our descendants will be working in the fields to furnish them substance, while they will be in the counting houses, rubbing their hands. I warn you, gentlemen, if you do not exclude the Jews for all time, your children will curse you in your graves. Jews, gentlemen, are Asiatics. Let them be born where they will, or how many generations they are away from Asia. They never will be otherwise. Their ideas do not conform to an American's, and will not, even though they live among us 10 generations. A leopard cannot change its spots. Jews are Asiatic. Are a menace to this country if permitted entrance, and should be excluded by the Constitution. In the first place, America owes her success to her racial stock. The fact that the initial immigrants were of the great white race, the good English, Irish, Scots, Germans, Swedes, and other white European races. Secondly, unlike the Spaniards of South America, they had the good sense not to mongrelize with the savage natives. They kept their bloodlines pure. They drove back the inferior savage and built a great empire from the Atlantic to the Pacific, an era that is the most dramatic saga and most productive epoch in the history of the great white race. Their standard of living soon exceeded those of their European forebears, because they had, and have today, a more ample supply of land and natural resources to work with. Our forebears did not make the same mistake that the Spaniards did, who colonized South America. Whereas the Spaniards, who were more strongly religious and under the influence of the Catholic Church, intermarried and interbred with the inferior native Indians and poisoned the blood of their future generations, we now see the difference in the pages of history. In mongrelized South America and Mexico, we see perennial revolutions, poverty, backwardness, and a future written in dissolution and anarchy. We white Americans are now stupidly subsidizing the mongrelized bastard offspring of these Spaniards to the tune of billions of dollars. As further evidence that the much ballyhooed American Constitution had little to do with America's preeminent success, we only need to be reminded that when the Latin American countries became independent from Spain, each and every one of them copied the United States Constitution almost to the letter. Did this ensure their success and greatness? Most decidedly not. South America and Central America have been wracked by turmoil, revolution, instability, poverty, and inflation almost constantly. Having the same wonderful constitution, why did they then not achieve the same success as the United States? The answer is clear and simple. It lies in race and in the blood. They are a mongrelized conglomerate, whereas the United States was built by the white race. Therein lies the answer, and not in constitution, flag, or territory, for certainly South America is equally rich in the natural resources of its territory, if not more so. No, our success in America was not due to our wonderful constitution. It was due to the good white racial stock and the wealth and bounty of our land. The Constitution had little to do with it. Today, as the Jew is working full time for the destruction of America and the white man who built it, our Constitution is not going to save either our freedoms, our country, or our race. We are no longer free. In fact, through trickery, deceit, and betrayal, due to lack of racial loyalty among the offspring of the founders of America, we are an occupied country. We are at the power and the mercy of the international Jew. We are economically enslaved. We are culturally being Judaized. Our children are being bussed around like cattle in order to mongrelize future generations and liquidate the white race. The biggest mistake the Founding Fathers made in writing the Constitution of the United States was failing to heed the advice of Benjamin Franklin, one of our greatest of the white statesmen. It is an important part of our creed to correct this fatal mistake made in the writing of the Constitution. We must drive the Jew from power and drive him from our shores in order to reclaim the government of these United States and ensure the destiny of the white race. We mean to take it back into the hands of the white race and disfranchise the Jew. Render him harmless, so that never again will the white race be placed in the shame and the peril in which it now finds itself. No, my white racial comrades, our first loyalty is neither to country, nor to flag, nor to the Constitution, all of which are transient and subject to change. Our first loyalty lies in our blood, to our own people, to the great and wonderful white racial family. Let us never forget this overwhelmingly important fact. It is the basic building block on which our new religion is founded, the religion which will not only restore the independence of the white race, but will make it great beyond our fondest dreams. We are herewith founding a new religion for the white race. We are calling the new religion creativity. Our church is called the Church of the Creator. Members of our religion are called creators. In the next chapter, we will examine our purpose and our mission. We will examine the reason for our existence and the meaning of life itself.